Good evening and welcome back to Sports Talk ATL. I am Chase Earl, joined by Alex Lord. It is time for our Braves spring training preview. The Braves pitchers and catchers and several position players reported to camp yesterday, and there's a ton of to talk about. We're going to talk about some projections for the 2024 campaign. We're going to talk about some initial takeaways from the start of spring training, but we're going to start off with a contract negotiation, which AJ Minter commented on yesterday, telling Justin Toscano of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that the Braves and he have not had contract extension talks to this point. Alex, does this surprise you, given that we are less than a year now away from his potential free agency?
I think it's a little surprising that he said there's been no contact whatsoever. I don't think that it means there won't be a contract, offer, because several times Charlie Morton did it 2 years in a row, where he signed a contract extension in the middle of the season. So it's not to say that it won't happen, but yes, it is surprising that there has been virtually no communication, because AJ Minter has been as instrumental and from the beginning as just about any, Ozzie, Ronald. He came up with those guys. He dealt with struggles. He went back to the minor leagues. Brian Snickers stuck with him. Like, he's had so many ebbs and flows to his Braves career, and he's finally figured out he's one of the best setup men in baseball. From the left side, he hums it. There's nothing not to love about AJ Minter. He kind of exudes what the Atlanta Braves are. And I think that, yes, there has been a significant investment in that facet of the team. That is the setup role, the Pierce Johnson contract, the Joe Jimenez contract, even the Ronaldo Lopez contract. Let's just say he doesn't work out as a starter, he's going to be that setup man. So, yes, there is a lot of money tied up in that kind of 7-8-9 role. But I still just think that AJ Minter's value is immense to this club. In terms of that bullpen, he's the longest guy. He's the longest tenured guy in the bullpen. So I think that it is very surprising.
I think it's at least surprising that there's been no conversations. Yeah. It doesn't surprise me that a deal hasn't gotten done, because in my opinion, AJ Minter is the most valuable left-handed setup pitcher in baseball right now. I think he's by far the most valuable pitcher on the Braves staff right now. I know he doesn't close games. I know he kind of struggled when they tried to make him a closer early on in his career, but you go back to 2020, he had a sub-1 ERA during the shortened season, had a little bit of struggles to start 2021, went back to AAA, then comes back. Brian Snicker never loses faith. Credit to Brian Snicker. It's one of those things, everyone gives him a lot of crap for sticking with these guys, but he knew AJ Minter and how important he could be later on in the season. Comes up huge in October for the team. Then in 2022, he's arguably the most valuable reliever in all of baseball. I believe he led all relievers in F4. I think he was second behind Edwin Diaz of the New York Mets, who obviously had that historic campaign. So, and then he was fantastic again last year. So he is one of the most valuable relievers in all of baseball. So it wouldn't shock me. I mean, he deserves to get paid by like one of the, if not the highest paid setup reliever in all of baseball, which is going to be pushing, $50 million. So if Alex Anthopoulos didn't want to commit that kind of money, completely understand. But the fact that he hasn't at least gone to the table and said, hey, here's where we're at, where are you at? Let's try to work towards that over the course of the next year. I think that's where it's a little more surprising, rather than the fact that there's no deal done.
Yeah, again, it is surprising. Doesn't mean that it's not going to happen. Like I just said, it's happened before where contract extensions were announced in the middle of the year. Rossell Iglesias' deal is going to come off the books in the near future, so that'll open up some space for money. I think that he's integral to this team. Like I said, he's the longest tenured, and I know that doesn't matter a ton, but I think for the Braves it does. Like, he's that glue guy. We've seen a lot of faces in the bullpen since that World Series run. A lot of new guys, a lot of old faces, like Tyler Matzek coming back, but he was hurt all of last year. Like, the one constant has been AJ Minter. And like, we could talk all we want about, leadership as a collective effort. Dansby, Freddie gone, Max Fried potentially gone. I mean, the bullpen without AJ Minter feels a lot closer to that, we need more leadership type of stuff. So I think it's got to be a deal that we have to prioritize. So I'm very shocked.
We're going to talk about it later in the show, but I think AJ Minter, I don't think there's any question about it because we've talked about it before. Some of the things when he said, you know, Chris Sale brings a little bit of that FU attitude, and he talked about how that's something the Braves need to embody. Well, there's one guy throughout this entire offseason that has basically pointed to the reason that the Braves have not been successful in the postseason is because they haven't had that fire in their belly, and he is trying to bring that to the table. Now, can a reliever be the leader in the clubhouse? I think that's hard to do because half the time he's not even sitting there in the clubhouse with the rest of the guys. But at the same time, like, he is trying to push the envelope and establish that right now in spring training that it is, and we're going to say it next thing, but I'll say it right now, it is World Series or bust in Atlanta. And I think everyone needs to embody that attitude. And I just, I would be sick if he's gone because to me, I really don't think a lot of people understand the value of what he brings. I think he's one of the best relievers in baseball.
I couldn't agree more. And no, he's not going to be in the actual dugout during games. But there's three phases, three facets of a baseball team. Two on the pitching side and then all of the position players. Yes, you need leaders all across the board. There are no, in terms of what we know, I'm sure there are leaders in that bullpen. But if you want to talk about outspoken faces of the team's bullpen, it is AJ Minter. Obviously, the pitching staff, Spencer Strider has become a much more vocal leader. Charlie Morton, Max Fried kind of lead by example. Chris Sale's that fiery guy. You know, the position players, we got Matt Olson, Austin Riley, Ozzie Albies has been more outspoken recently. But if you want to talk about the bullpen, it is important, though those guys don't really cross over with the other guys in terms of actually in the dugout in the games. Somebody needs to lead that group, that facet of the team.
I mean, the good news is that he said, you know, in those quotes to Justin Toscano of the Atlanta Journal-Constitution that obviously he wants to be in Atlanta. There's no desire for him to play for anybody else, which is another reason why I'm kind of surprised there at least hasn't been some sort of communication, because as the closer he gets to free agency, the higher his value goes. Yeah. If he starts off this first half of the season, and let's say he's the best version of AJ Minter in July. Well, if the Braves go to the table in July and say, oh, AJ, we'd love to hand you this contract extension, he might be like, dude, I'm 3 months away from free agency where someone might pay me 67. You know, I mean, you just saw Josh Hader get, you know, $100 million. Now, I'm not saying AJ Minter is Josh Hader because he isn't. He doesn't close games. He's not nearly as dominant as Josh Hader. But in terms of setup men, he is one of the most dominant setup men, and just pure stuff perspective. The Braves went out there and got Pierce Johnson. They went out there and got Joe Jimenez. They went and got their Ronaldo Lopez. I love all of that. But if you just let AJ Minter walk, I think all of that's for naught, because I think he's valuable as at least two of those guys.
Yeah, I find it very hard to believe that, you know, the Braves aren't going to at least approach AJ Minter with a reasonable offer. And whether he is, you know, I think he doesn't even have to be the best version of himself. If he's just who he has been the past 2 years, you know, he's going to break the bank, not break the bank, our bank, but he's going to get his money in free agency. I think what it's going to come down to is the Freddie Freeman, Dansby Swanson. Do you think that 10, 20% more you're going to get on the open market is worth leaving Atlanta, this organization, being a perennial contender? Now, obviously, Freddie went to the Dodgers. They're perennial contenders. But Dansby is with the Cubs, and they are really scratching their heads thinking, like, what can we do to take that next step? AJ Minter has to ask himself. You know, he's got his roots here. He's been here his entire career. He knows year in, year out, through the decade, we're going to be in it for a World Series. If we don't, we're upset about it. Those are the things he's going to have to weigh, because I find it extremely unlikely, just a feeling, extremely unlikely that Alex Anthopoulos isn't going to at least approach him with a number, at least approach him. It might not be, you know, what he's going to garner on an open free agent market. That's not to say that Alex Anthopoulos won't at least give him an offer.
Yeah, I mean, no, there's no doubt that he's going to give him an offer, and there's no doubt it's going to be a somewhat fair offer, but it all depends what you mean by fair, because at the end of the day, he's not, I can guarantee you, if he reaches free agency, it's going to be the same situation as it is with Max Fried or Freddie Freeman or Dansby Swanson, where, yeah, you're right, he's going to have to make that decision because
I'm
he's going to
put you on the spot.
He's
go
going,
ahead.
He's going
throw out to get, a, throw out an offer. A fair offer you think he would take, also fair for the Braves, fair for AJ Minter.
I think 4 to 45 to 50 million.
That's what I said, like 4 for 48, 4 for 50.
Yeah, I mean, something like that. I think 4 for 50. I would be shocked if Alex Anthopoulos went up there and gave him that offer that he wouldn't take it. But I also understand from the Braves' perspective that you're not eager to go out there and give AJ Minter 4 for 50, because frankly, there have been inconsistencies. Now, they haven't happened over the last 2 or 3 years, but I mean, we're talking about 2021. Yeah. And before that, 2019, 2018, he really had some struggles. So maybe you want to see him just like, hey, prove it one more time. And even last year, there were times where he wasn't at his best. So I understand why the Braves aren't eager to go out and hand another reliever $50 million after spending so much money. I just think I trust in AJ Minter. I think he's going to be very good this year. I think he's going to be integral, and I think they're going to want him back.
Yeah, and you know, obviously, we're talking about all this in AJ Minter's side, but if you look at it from the Braves' perspective, next year you'll have Rossiello Iglesias, Ronaldo Lopez, if he's in the bullpen, Pierce Johnson, Joe Jimenez. So that right there, I don't know Aaron Bummer's situation.
Outside of Houston, it's the most expensive bullpen pretty much.
Yeah, so it's not like the Braves are in dire need. We can't let AJ Minter leave in terms of production, more so than I think anything intangibly. We cannot let AJ Minter go.
Yeah, we'll have to see. But AJ Minter, we're going to stick with him because he had a comment at the first day of spring training. Is it World Series or bust for the Atlanta Braves? It seems like that's a popular discussion leading into the season. The Atlanta Braves pitchers and catchers reported to spring training on Wednesday, and one of the most outspoken members of this Braves team this entire offseason on what this team needs to do to get to their ultimate goal, which is a World Series, has been AJ Minter. The Braves setup man even said, went as far as to say, it is World Series or bust in Atlanta.
We hold ourselves to a different standard than most organizations, and that's what separates us. And I think we need to get everyone focused coming to spring training. Like, hey, this is you know, World Series or bust. So it's going to be another fun year for sure. Right.
Alex, what do you think about that?
I think that you'd be a fool not to say that. And, you know, I don't think anybody around Atlanta, whether you're a coach, Alex Anthopoulos, a fan, you know, we analyze the game, like, nobody should be afraid to say it because it's true. It is World Series or bust. Very few teams, not just in baseball, very few teams in major league sports can say we're disappointed unless we win a Super Bowl. Like, I'm talking the Tom Brady Patriots were disappointed every year they didn't win a Super Bowl. The Chiefs now disappointed every year they don't win a Super Bowl. Even the Warriors, even though we're in the twilight of that dynasty, every year they don't win a championship, they're disappointed. That's how the Atlanta Braves should act and carry themselves.
Yeah, I mean, especially in baseball, it's really hard to say this because there's so much randomness. The best team very rarely wins. But when you're talking about the Atlanta Braves, I mean, we are literally talking about an all-star team. Yeah. Like, all five members of the pitching staff, if Bryce Elder wins that open competition for the fifth spot, have made an all-star game. Chris Sale has made like six or seven of them, seven-time all-star. Charlie Morton has made multiple. Max Fried and Spencer Strider have both made all-star games in the last 2 years. And Max Fried would have been an all-star for, what, 3-4 straight years had he been healthy. Spencer Strider is the favorite to win the NL Cy Young. The Braves' entire infield made the all-star game last year. Ronald Acuna won the MVP. Michael Harris is an all-star. I don't care what anybody says. I know he had a bad first half of the year, but I've always said it's stupid that all-star games take place at halfway through the season and you don't get recognized at the end of the year, because Michael Harris would have been an all-star had it been taken at the end of the season, one of the best center fielders in baseball. And then you have Jared Kelenic, a 24-year-old who has all-star potential. All of these guys have the potential to make an all-star game this year in the starting lineup. And then you have one of the best bullpens in baseball to boot. Like, if you're not thinking World Series a bust, like, there's nothing else to think. There's no team that can compete with this team over 162 games outside of maybe the Los Angeles Dodgers, who just spent $1 billion to try to catch up to you after winning their division.
I would have real concerns if I looked around the locker room or around the clubhouse in Atlanta and I saw somebody who didn't have that fire, that focus in their eye, that it was World Series or bust. You know, it was just pitchers and catchers supposed to be yesterday, but several position players, and not just, you know, the nobodies. It was the best players on the team. Austin Riley, Matt Olson, Michael Harris. That's the kind of intensity, the focus, the drive that, like, World Series championship caliber teams have. So, I want to go back a couple of months or weeks to when the offseason really began, and it was the whole focus of the offseason after we digested the loss to the Phillies again in the divisional round was basically, what are we doing this offseason to be better next October? That was a question everybody was asking. This, it wasn't a secret. Nobody was asking, how can we win 110 games in the regular season instead of just 100 plus? No, the question is we're not worried about the regular season. What we did this offseason wasn't to address the regular season woes. It was to address the October postseason woes. And I think that, you know, the team itself, as you're hearing it from AJ Minter himself, from spring training, everybody on the team is pulling on the same rope. One goal, one focus, one mission, and I love it. You know, we should be about that life. Like, if we don't win a World Series, we're disappointed.
Yeah, I definitely think there's a different tune and just the motivation from these guys because of what's happened over the last two seasons. And it's normal. I mean, listen, I say it all the time. It takes a lot more, and we've seen it over the last 2 years, than just talent to win baseball. It takes a little bit of luck. It takes the right group of guys. Mm-hmm. It takes that fiery attitude. It takes the right personalities. It takes a lot. It's the hardest championship to win in all of sports. It's why we never see teams that go back-to-back. It's why a lot of people are just starstruck by the Houston Astros, because they keep putting themselves in a position. And even they only have two World Series over the last 7 years, and one of them they cheated for. Like, if the best teams in baseball won it every year, the Astros and the Dodgers would have 9 or 10 championships combined over the last decade. It's not how it works. That motivation is a key factor in all this. And I think we're seeing a change in just like, and I understand why you might be fat and happy after winning that World Series in 21. Well, it is human nature.
I was just about to say, they shouldn't be. That most of the team, most of that World Series team is gone. Dansby's gone. Freddie's gone. Spencer Strider wasn't there. Sean Murphy wasn't there.
Acuna was injured.
Kelenic, all these new guys. Chris Sale has a World Series, but still, you know, the hunger's still there. Everybody in the bullpen outside of AJ Minter and Matzik, like nobody on the, Not nobody, but a lot of that 2021 World Series team is gone. So these guys shouldn't be kind of hanging their hats on another team's World Series. Like, this is a new team. Matt Olson doesn't have one. Like, there's countless guys who don't have a World Series ring that should be more than hungry, like starving.
Yeah. And you can talk about your reigning NL MVP. I mean, you don't think that he wants to win? I know he was a big part. I hate when people say, oh, Ronald doesn't really have a ring just because he wasn't part. Dude, that guy carried the Atlanta Braves. They would have never even been in the playoffs if Ronald Acuna wasn't carrying the team in the first half of the season. I mean, literally, they were under 500, and the guy would have won the NL MVP had he stayed healthy. But you don't think he wants one where he's sitting there, where he's having an impact in those biggest moments in October? That guy lives for it. Michael Harris, Spencer Strider. I mean, you saw the emotions pouring out of him against the Phillies, because it's not even because he pitched poorly, but the Braves he didn't pitch well enough for the Braves bats to carry him to a win. These guys won it, and it's good to see. And it's good to see someone. We talked about AJ Minter and his leadership. It seems like these guys are going to put an emphasis on it. I hope to see it from guys like Austin Riley. Matt Olson's a guy that I would love to see step up, because those are two of the best players on the team. Coming up after the break, can Ronald Acuna have a 50-50 season in 2024? Fresh off his first NL MVP, Ronald Acuna is looking to make history for the second consecutive season. And I want to ask you, Alex, do you see 50-50 in his future? His career high in home runs is 41. But as I always say, Ronald Acuna, if he elevates 50 balls as hard as he hits it, he's going to easily sniff 50 home runs, because nobody hits it as hard as him in the game of baseball, and nobody has more power than him in the game of baseball outside of maybe like Giancarlo Stanton or Aaron Judge. Very few players. Yeah. I definitely
you just named two guys that weigh
6'7", 250 pounds.
Go ahead.
I think it's very possible, and I know a lot of people are going to look at his career high of 41 home runs, but if you just go look at the last couple months of last year, he was not on track to hit 40-40. I mean, he wasn't even close. His last 2 months, his pace for homers and steals, and I'm not just making a stupid joke, was 69-69. That's over the last 2 months. Now, obviously, that's probably not sustainable over 6 months, but if he does that for 3 months or 4 months out of the year, he's easily going to be flirting with 50 home runs. And if you just go the last half of last year, he's right on pace for 50 home runs. I definitely think it's possible. It's all about elevating the baseball. And as we've talked about with Ronald Acuna, he gets better and better every single year. I don't expect that to change. I know it's 50-50 sounds great. And listen, it's not even going to be 50-50. Let's be real. It's going to be like 50-60, 50-70, 50-80. Like, I mean, it's going to be ridiculous. And at the very least, he could be flirting with 45-50, 45-70, whatever it is.
I don't remember exactly the stat, but it was something along the lines of like Ronald Acuna versus teams batted balls over 100 miles an hour or something like that. And he had more batted balls over 100 miles per hour than like 20 something other teams.
Yeah, I think it was like 24.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of power this guy possesses. Nobody possesses power like Ronald Acuna Jr. on a pound for pound basis. As you mentioned, like the guys that you think of who are hitting it as hard as often are 250 pounds plus. Ronald Acuna Jr.'s probably not over 215, maybe.
Well, they're not hitting it as hard as often. It's just like if they catch one, they might hit it as hard. And we're talking about like a 5 foot deep difference. Like,
yeah,
Giancarlo Stanton might be able to hit one 505 feet. Ronald can hit one 500. So there's no one really out there with as much power. And if you go look at Ronald Acuna's stats from last year, they truly are incredible. They're just unbelievable because the numbers on paper were ridiculous. But they were actually worse than his expected numbers. Yeah. I mean, this is a guy who was second in the league in batted balls over 100 miles per hour that resulted in outs. This is a guy whose expected batting average, his real batting average was 37. His expected batting average was like 350. So he's actually like as good as he was last year.
He's unlucky.
The advanced metrics tell you he could have easily been better. Oh, and by the way, he's got another year of experience. Oh, and by the way, he's one more year removed from a devastating ACL injury. The guy stays healthy. I mean, that is really the only thing we're talking about Ronald Acuna, because I said it. Ronald Acuna has a chance to be a top 10 to 20 player of all time, and maybe even better than that, as long as he can stay on the baseball field.
Yeah, one of the greatest Braves of all time, Chipper Jones, said that Ronald Acuna Jr. is the most talented player to ever wear this
jersey. Think it's debatable.
And it's not even debatable. Obviously, Hank, the longevity he had is Tom Brady-esque, did it for, you know, two decades at a very, very high level. But if we're talking about just a moment in time in terms of greatness, Ronald Acuna Jr. is up there with some of the greatest names in sports, not just baseball. So I think, and to your point about this kid's just entering his prime, I'm talking about the prime physical years of his career where he's just like 26 years old. And, you know, we want to get into the physiological aspect of it all. It's like men don't really, you know, hone in all of their physical skills until what, 27, 28 years old. So
I mean, you can even go like 29.
Yeah. So let's just say it's 28 for argument's sake. So he's still 2 years removed from that. And then, as you mentioned, talking about this part of the game, the mental aspect of the game, it's only going to get better. It will never get worse. So it's just to say that 50-50 is out of reach or unattainable, you're just a hater, or you enjoy playing the contrarian, because I could even go as far to say something like 55-65, 55-70 is very possible.
Yeah, I mean, one of my favorite, I know we've had a lot of good guests on here, but when Ron Gant came on here, one of the only other Braves in the 30-30 club, and he came out and said, you know, Ronald Acuna developed this sixth tool, which not a lot of players have. And we saw it in terms of dropping his strikeout rate by more than half. And we saw it in the rise in batting average and OBP and all that stuff. But he even went as far to say, is Ronald Acuna's out there baiting pitchers to throw him the pitches that he wants. Like, he's acting like he doesn't like certain pitches, fouling off certain pitches, waiting for his pitch. And when you talk about the best hitters in the game, that is what they do. And they're not, and when I'm saying that, there's not a lot of guys that even have the potential or the chance or the opportunity to do something like that. Ronald Acuna had a 402 OPS plus. That's 402% above league average on 0-2 pitches. I mean, the guy is
stupid.
I know a lot of Braves fans are watching this like just agreeing, but it truly needs to be talked about in terms of just absolute greatness that we've never seen. Because as good as Hank was, he won one MVP. Ronald Acuna doesn't get hurt in 2021. He has two MVPs and as many World Series under his belt by the age of 26. I mean, he is a freak at baseball, and the guy just loves it. I mean, you just go look at him in Venezuela. He's out there. Yeah. All the guy does is think and breathe and love baseball.
Well, there's a lot of people who have been around, you know, the Hall of Famers, not just in baseball and sports all over. I like to liken different sports. You know, the love, obsession is always going to beat talent. And when you marry the two, you get something truly transcendental. And that's what you got with Ronald Acuña. He's got all the talent in the world, and he's absolutely obsessed, in love with the game of baseball. And you're seeing, you know, the product of that. You know, the fruit of his labors is history.
Yeah. And cool fact, he just bought a car wash in Georgia.
He's not going anywhere.
And he's planning on buying a bunch more. Hey, man, I'm saying, now just sign that extension. Yep. Let's get a car wash company. It'll be the biggest car wash in the history of Georgia. Coming up after the break, what will Chris Sale and Jared Kelenic bring in their first year as Atlanta Braves? The Braves made a number of big additions this offseason, but none more significant than seven-time All-Star Chris Sale. He will slot in the middle of the Braves' rotation, and some people aren't as high on this, whether it's fans or whether it's national media outlets. Personally, I'm just going to go ahead and give my opinion. I think this is going to turn out so well for the Atlanta Braves. I think this is the first time Chris Sale has been healthy in about 4 years entering the offseason. That is what he said. Those are his own words. I think that's huge. I think he's in a position where they're not going to ask him to do too much. He's in a position where there's not going to be a lot of pressure on him to be the main guy. And you can say that same thing about the guy we're going to talk about in the next segment, Jared Kelenic. But I just the stuff is still there. That was very apparent. And you're talking about a guy, when he's healthy, his worst career numbers are like a 3.7 ERA. So if he's on the mound, he's going to be a stud. Oh, and by the way, he has the highest K9 in MLB history. He is a stud when on the mound. The Braves are going to do everything they can to keep him healthy. And I think fans are going to grow to love him.
Yeah, what was his K9 last year? Was the lowest of his career. It was like 11-1, wasn't it? Or something. It was something crazy.
11-1 was the lowest probably since his rookie year.
And that's absolutely nutty. So if you want to just talk about pure stuff, put injuries aside, put, you know, wear and tear aside, just pure stuff, which is obviously what Alex Anthopoulos and, you know, company saw, looked at and said, yeah, we want this guy. And, you know, Alex Anthopoulos talked about it at Braves spring training that, you know, the injuries, obviously, outside of the Tommy John, which is very serious, but since then and before then, Iron Man. After then, yes, he's been injured, but they were kind of like freak accidents.
You're talking about dirt bike accidents. You're talking about stuff that shouldn't really have long-term effects. It's not shoulder injuries, which I always say on this show are the biggest problem. And even Tommy John, yes, that's going to force you to miss 18 months. But when he's come back and when he's been on the mound, I mean, even those years where he wasn't pitching much and dealing with several injuries, I mean, his numbers were out of this world. I mean, we're talking about sub-3 ERAs. I think Chris Sale 100% has another All-Star appearance in his belt. And the fact that the Braves were able to get him for Vaughn Grissom,
while
the Red Sox paid him $20 million and they could potentially have this guy for 3 years, I just think it's such a fantastic use of your resources.
Right.
And when you're looking towards the future of this rotation and having another guy in there with Charlie Morton potentially retiring, Max Fried potentially out there, I mean, Chris Sale could slot in right behind Spencer Strider and be your number two. And you got a pretty damn good 1-2 punch. And we get him as our number, what, potential 3-4 this year?
Yeah.
I think Braves fans are going to grow to love this. Besides, and you can expand on this, you know, maybe the most attractive aspect about him is that fiery personality that we've been begging the Braves to get, that AJ Minter has been talking about all offseason.
Yeah, the two things that stick out to me the most is the efficiency in which Alex Anthopoulos used in this acquisition. You know, in terms of the price of the going rate of a starting pitcher, we are well below that market in terms of trade compensation and actually salary. So I just wanted to say that. And then on the more important, more intriguing aspect is that intangible attribute of Chris Sale that's going to hopefully rub off in the clubhouse. And Alex Anthopoulos talked about it at Braves spring training, that the more they dug into this guy, the more people they talked to, the wider breadth, the people they talked to about Chris Sale, they got more excited about him. And I think that you're hearing it from the man himself, that Braves fans should be that excited about this guy, because if there is one thing that this rotation is missing, though we are, you know, I think we're seeing Spencer Strider step into that vocal leadership role. He hasn't been that yet. And Max Fried and Charlie Morton have never been that. They're kind of the go about their business, you know, follow me and I'll take you there. Whereas Chris Sale is going to get in somebody's butt. If somebody needs a butt chewing, he's going to do it. I do think he's been here 1 year. I think he would be willing to do that, because I think He's been around the game. People respect him.
I'll tell you what, in terms of Bulldogs on the mound, could you have three bigger Bulldogs than Spencer Strider, Max Fried, and Chris Sale? Like Charlie Morton's a
dog, yeah.
But I'm just talking about straight absolute competitors, just absolute Tom Brady-esque, I want to win more than anything. And they go about it in different manners. There's no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But those three guys are as competitive as any in the game. And those are the three guys you could potentially have going 1-2-3 in the playoffs. You got to feel good about that with this offense. Hopefully the offense wakes up. Coming up after the break, we're going to talk about the other major acquisition, Jared Kelenic, in his first year with the Atlanta Braves. The Braves acquired Jared Kelenic in a trade with the Seattle Mariners, and he is going to be one of the more fun players to watch this entire season simply because of that upside. I mean, we're talking about a guy that was a sixth overall prospect before he was traded for Edwin Diaz. Showed some flashes in Seattle, particularly last year, had a 2 WAR in 105 games, has a ton of power, really is a five-tool athlete, which gets thrown around a lot, but he really can do it all. He's got a little bit of speed. He's got good defense. He's got power. And really, the contact bat is probably where he lacks the most. The strikeouts have been an issue. But when you get a guy in this building who's not going to have the same pressure to live up and be a star because he was traded in a trade that sent one of the best closers in baseball across the country to the New York Mets, the sixth overall pick from 2018. That doesn't matter nearly as much as it did when he was with the Mariners and the Mets. And then you get Kevin Seitzer, one of the best hitting coaches in baseball, to get his hands on a talent like this. I mean, you saw what he done with Orlando Arcia. I mean, that guy was an offensive nothing for his entire career and turns into an all-star. Travis d'Arnaud, you can say pretty much the same thing about him. The first half of Sean Murphy was very encouraging until it looks like he might have either ran out of gas or got injured. He gets his hands on people, Jorge Soler, Adam Duvall, and they turn into stars, and that is not a coincidence. This kind of talent with Kevin Seitzer, that's a scary thought.
Yeah, the prospect of Jared Kelenic panning out is tantalizing. Having that outfield all in their prime and their mid, early to mid 20s. Ronald Acuña Jr. is your oldest outfielder if Jared Kelenic realizes his full potential in Atlanta. I mean, that's got to have Braves fans drooling. And the idea is certainly going to be at the start of the season, at least, and probably for much of it, he's going to get every day at bats. Even if he struggles, he's going to need every day at bats. That's obviously going to be the plan. And I think that what you spoke to, that pressure of being that sixth overall pick, and then you were the focal point in that trade with Edwin Diaz in Seattle. You were expected to be the man. That pressure weighs on you. In Atlanta, you don't even have to be a guy. You could be a nothing in left field, and the Braves are going to be just fine. You know, you're going to be batting ninth, eighth. Like, you're not going to be expected to do much at all except hone in on your craft and help, you know, a team in the areas that you can. Like you mentioned, defense, base running. If the stick doesn't come around, it doesn't come around. Help the team where you can. The stick will come around as long as you stick with it. Like you said, one of the best hitting coaches in baseball. You want to talk about squeezing the rag. I mean, that's what the Braves do with talent. They get the absolute most out of it. I'm so excited to see him. I know you're excited about the Chris Sale acquisition, and rightfully so, because it has been a problem, the rotation that is, for the Braves for many years. But Kelenic, dude, the prospect of that outfield got me drooling.
Yeah, I mean, and Pete, I don't even understand how anyone could hate this trade. I mean, all the Braves did is essentially take on some money this
money.
Year. And
we got money.
Yeah, they got money, and it's going to be off the books in 2 years. That I think, you know, Gonzalez is off the book after this year. White is off the books, like $7 million next year. Oh, but we have this guy potentially that has the potential to be an all-star outfielder, now under contract for 5 years of team control. And when you look at the next 5 years of this team, there's a pattern. All of them are under contract to about that 2028, 2029, and 2030 marks. Even Alex Anthopoulos inked a contract extension to 2031. So that shows you kind of what they're thinking in all of this. Get as much young talent in here, and let's try to win as many World Series before a lot of these guys inevitably have to leave. As much as we want to keep them all, it's going to be impossible to keep them all. But until 2030, they're going to have a fantastic shot, especially if Kelenic can pan out.
Yeah, you mentioned at the beginning that 2-something WAR over 100 games. That was more than the Braves had last year from the left field position. That includes Kevin Pillar and Eddie Rosario. So, yes, he did have a very encouraging beginning to the year, the cooler incident, immaturity showing its colors. I think that's going to go away when you're surrounded by 10 all-stars. Some of the best game.
If you're acting like a jerk when you're the worst player on the team, it's not exactly. Yeah. And that's not saying
he's
going to
fall in line. That's all he's going to do. He's going to fall in line and go about his business.
You're going to see how everyone acts around here in the Atlanta clubhouse, realize you're just a fly on the wall compared to everyone else. And that's going to help. And I think he's had the right attitude ever since being traded. Coming up after the break. I forgot what's coming up after the break, but we'll be right back. . 2023 first round pick Hurston Waldrop arrived at his first major league spring training after absolutely turning heads at every turn in the minors leagues, beginning in low A Augusta and working his way up to triple A for his final start, where he tossed four shutout innings. He was asked about competing for the fifth and final spot in the rotation. And he basically said, you know, he wasn't like, oh, I'm going to go take it. I'm going to go get it. But he said, listen, I've seen what this organization does with their young players and how they act. If they give you a chance to make an opportunity, you have to take it. You have an opportunity to earn a spot. And this is baseball. And nobody in this organization is going to hold you back if you show you're ready to go.
Yeah, and I think the impression he makes during this spring training isn't only important for his bid at that final spot in the rotation. I think it's, you know, a very important impression to have in case of injury, which are inevitable. Let's say Bryce Elder earns that spot, or it's Ronaldo Lopez and a couple of guys in the rotation, Chris Sale, Charlie Morton. Somebody goes down, you know, instead of maybe A.J. Smith-Shawver getting that call up from AAA, it's Hurston Waldrop. So not even speaking on the fifth spot in the rotation, just being maybe that sixth guy, you know, the guy who is up to who's in the hole, so to speak. So I think that, you know, this is a very important spring training for Hurston Waldrop. With that being said, it's not the end of the world. This kid has got a bright future, regardless of what happens in this spring training or next year if he does reach the bigs, or this year if he reaches the bigs. In terms of stuff, the guy's absolutely nasty. Everybody's talking about that splitter. Everybody. I think somebody did some advanced metrics on it, and it's the nastiest pitch in the minor league system. And I think, you know, I could give you a bunch of metrics on the swing and miss stuff and the percentages. Just take my word for it. It's absolutely
filthy. There's no doubt it's the nastiest pitch in the Braves minor league system.
No, this was the entire.
Yeah. There's no doubt it's one of the best pitches. It is a pro level pitch that would fool major league hitters left and right. Here are my couple of takes on Hurston Waldrop competing. I don't think he's going to win out of camp. I think Bryce Elder has a fantastic shot. I think Ronaldo Lopez is the dark horse in that. They're going to stretch him out. And because of the flexibility Lopez goes, if he goes to the rotation, and then you can option some of these other guys and keep them around, I think that's important. I think that's why Lopez might earn it out of camp if he shows some chops in that role. The other take I have is that Hurston Waldrop is a better pro-ready option right now than A.J. Smith-Shawver.
I agree.
I think Hurston Waldrop is going to be that next guy in line. I think A.J. Smith-Shawver, we saw at the AAA level and at times during the major league level, you saw some struggles. The swing and miss wasn't nearly as effective as it was in AA and high A Rome. I think he's going to have to work on some of those secondary offerings. You can't just get by with a high 90s fastball. I think the secondary offerings of Waldrop are already much more advanced, and he has multiple of them. He has a good slider as well. You obviously mentioned the split finger, and he has a high 90s fastball. Yeah. I think he's more pro ready. And my other thing is I'd be shocked if he does not make his major league debut at some point this season.
And just to paint a scenario for you guys, Hurston Waldrop or A.J. Smith-Shawver would have to absolutely blow the Braves away during spring training for one of them to get the nod over Bryce Elder or Ronaldo Lopez because of that. If they're neck and neck, they're going to go with Lopez or Elder. That's just a fact of the matter. They're going to let the younger guy develop in AAA. So they have to not only kind of keep up with those older guys, they have to blow them out of the water.
Yeah, I mean, people want to talk about Dylan Dodd and Jared Schuster making the rotation last year when nobody expected them to do so, and they were obviously way worse than AJ Smith-Shawver and Hurston Waldrop. The difference is this rotation is in a 10 times better place. You have guys that are healthier. You have more options, a better pitching staff in the bullpen. You want to keep flexibility open, so it's a much different situation than when Jared Schuster and Dylan Dodd were competing for spots.
It was necessity.
It was definitely more necessity than anything. This time,
I didn't even mention Alan Winans, who's kind of gotten forgotten in all of this, and he's
and Darius Vines.
And Darius Vines, yeah.
I mean, they got guys. I mean, they have, and Ian Anderson's coming up at some point in June, and Huascar, we didn't even mention it. I mean, I'm telling you, they got 12, 13 guys that could be in the major leagues tomorrow, and you feel more confident than what they had last year at really any point.
Yeah.
So that wraps up our show for this evening. I hope you guys enjoyed it, especially if you are Braves fans. We will be back tomorrow to talk a lot of Atlanta Falcons.